Okay, part of the embarrassment of riches that we have here in Camp Keli is that we have so many outstanding Talmidei Chachamim that some of them, many of them, are doing jobs that you wouldn't even expect to have an outstanding Talmud Chacham doing. And it's sometimes you don't even realize what you have right in front of you, because when you only know a person from camp, you think, oh, that's the person who makes sure that we are nourished the entire summer. But you don't realize that he's a person who, by profession and by right, is someone who nourishes the neshama for a living, and is a genuine and outstanding Talmud Chacham. So it's a great pleasure for us to have Rav David Sukenik share with us a shir this evening, L'zeichu Nishmas, his wife's grandmother, who is, I assume he'll make mention of, and we should be exposed now. Hopefully, after tonight, you'll see what we have right under our noses the whole time, and take advantage of the fact that we have such an outstanding Talmud Chacham with us all summer.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Leibowitz. I did want to dedicate the shir. Ili Nishmas, Zeichu Nishmas, my wife's grandmother, Yehuda Sheva Bas Betzalel. I decided to give a shir on the topic of tefillah. Tefillah was something that was very near and dear to her. Usually you couldn't get in touch with her before about 1 p.m. because she was davening the entire morning. The maila of focusing be'iyun on a topic, the ability that you guys have, is that avoda becomes a better avoda. I would imagine and hope that at the end of the summer, when you guys leave, when you put on your tefillin in the morning, just the halachas that you've learned make for a more meaningful tefillin experience. Even if you're doing the same action of wrapping them around your arm, but now you understand what it is. And you put the tefillin b'neinecha, you understand what's in the box that's going on, makes it so meaningful. So I thought that tefillah is something that we always need chizuk in. So let's learn a little bit about tefillah. I wanted to talk about basically two concepts in tefillah, two themes in tefillah, which, as we'll see, run through just about every area, every aspect of tefillah. Tefillah has two components. Number one, we'll call avoda. This is we're calling it avoda because that's what the pasuk tells us. The pasuk says ula avda v'chol levavchem. The Gemara in Maseches Tainis tells us avoda shebelev. That's tefillah. As we'll soon see, avoda takes on a higher meaning because the Gemara tells us that that avoda is keneged, that tefillah is keneged the karbanos. So avoda, not only avoda shebelev, but avoda sakarbanos. And the second aspect of tefillah is the aspect we'll call rachamim. Rachamim is mercy, is basically bakashas tzrachim, that we dive into the Ribbono Shalom because we need things. The whole middle section of Shmona Esrei is davening because we need things. So we'll see how this is really, it's almost beferish in the Gemara, these two concepts, and then we'll apply them to different areas of tefillah. The Gemara, at the beginning of the fourth parak of Brachos, the Gemara is talking about a concept called tashlumin, which means that you missed the tefillah. So the Gemara says, the Gemara has a memra from Rabbi Yochanan, you're allowed to make up with the next tefillah. So if a person misses shachris, you're allowed to daven two minchas. So the Gemara asks a question, iboylehu. Tovelo espalo mincha, mahu sheispalo arvis beis. The Gemara had told us that if you forgot mariv, you daven two shachrises. If you got shachris, you daven two minchas. And that was the end of the memra of Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara wants to know, what's the halacha if you forgot two minchas? Why did the Gemara leave it out? What's the halacha? Says the Gemara, there's two ways to look at it. Im timtzi lomar, tov lo hespal arvis. If you want to say the reason that when you made a mistake, you didn't daven mariv, mispal shachar shtayim, you daven shachars twice. Mishum dechad yomahu. Because that's the same day. Dichsev vayer vayivoker yom echad. We know that in the Jewish calendar, for most halachos, we start with the night. So if you forgot Mariv, it's still the same day in the Jewish calendar, so you could daven shachris twice. Aval hacha, but over here, in our case, tefillah b'makom karbon hi. Tefillah is karbon. which we'll call avoda. So if tefillah is avodas hakarbanos, so what's the halacha by karbanos? The halacha is v'kevan avar yomo batal karbano. We're going to have to cancel that out because mincha ends and then marav is a new day. So we have a rule avar yomo batal karbano. O dilma, the other way to look at it is kevan detzalusa rachamihi, since davening is rachamim, kol emas deboi matzli v'azal. So whenever you want, we could always daven. We always have another opportunity to daven. So why should we withhold your opportunity just because the day is over? Rachamim is rachamim. So right here, the Gemara basically outlined for us two concepts of tefillah. Do we say that you could daven tashlich, if you miss mincha, you could daven two maravs because tefillah is rachamim? Or the first tzad, the first way of looking at it was, you can't do that because tefillah is avodas hakarbanos, and the rule by karbanos is came into Avar Yom HaBatal Karbano. So the Gemara really lays that out for us. Now, the truth is that the Maskanas HaGemara, the Gemara says, Tashma, Damar of Huna, Bar Yehuda, Amar Vitzchak, Amar Biyochanan. The Gemara says, Beferish, Tav lo hispal mincha, mispal arvis beis. Vein bozem mishum de Avar Yom HaBatal Karbano. So at first glance, it would seem that the Gemara is paskening that avoda, that tefillah is rachamim, because we're going with the tzad that tefillah is rachamim. If you read it carefully. Tavlo hispalal mincha, mispalal arvis beis. You made a mistake. You didn't daven mincha. You could daven marav twice. Says the Gemara, ve'ein bozeh mishem de'avar yom abatal korbanu. We're not going to apply the rule of avar yom abatal korbanu. The Gemara doesn't say that tefillah is not based on avoda. The Gemara just said we're not going to apply the rule of avar yom abatal korbanu, perhaps for technical reasons. But we're not locked into saying that the fact that we allow you to daven marav twice if you miss mincha must be that tefillah is only rachamim. That's how the Gemara's conclusion was. The Gemara's conclusion was this is not a problem of avar yom avotah korbano, and therefore we have two concepts in tefillah. The truth is these two concepts, the next Amud of Gemara has a famous machlokes, the makor for davening three times a day. The Gemara says, Itmar, Rabbi Yossi ber Rabbi Chanina, Amar tefillos avos tiknum, Rabbi Shimon Levi, Amar tefillos keneged temidim tiknum. The Gemara goes through rayas with brisos on each side. Is tefillah based on the avos or is tefillah based on karbanos? So here too, the easiest way to explain avos and karbanos would be avos is rachamim, we'll get to in a moment, and karbanos is avodas hakarbanos. The pasuk says that when Bnei Yisrael got to the Yam, they were stuck, Vayitzaku Bnei Yisrael, and Bnei Yisrael crying out. So Rashi right over there says, Tafsu Umnos Avosam. They grabbed on to the Umnos, the craft of the Avos. And Rashi quotes all the psukim that our Gemara quotes. By Avram, that Avram davened, Vayashkem Avram Bavoker El Amokam Asher Omad Sham, and by Yitzchak was Vayitzi Yitzchak Vasuach Basada, and by Yaakov also, and the Gemara learns out that those are the three sources for the Avos davening. So Rabbi Yerucham, the Mashgiach Emir, in his Sefer Das Torah, so he asks, I understand the Gemara says to us Avos Tiknum, but what does that have to do with the Jews at the Yam? Why now? Had they never davened before? What was unique about this tefillah? So he says that when the Avos davened, every single time they davened, they realized that their lives were on the line. They didn't know if this was going to be their last tefillah. They didn't know where their next meal was going to come from. And that's not because Avram Avinu didn't have enough food stocked up, that he didn't have enough cattle that he can shecht. It's because he realized that the Ribono Shel Olam controls everything. He had an intimate relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam, and he understood that everything comes from them. And when it comes to Yitzchak, when it comes to Yaakov, the same thing. You know, a lot of times when we daven, but we know that in our back pocket we have what we need. We have things stocked up. We already have plans to go out for dinner. We're not really worried about where our next meal is going to come from. When Bnei Yisrael got to the Yam, they didn't know if there was going to be a next meal. They didn't know if there was going to be a next tefillah. That's why Rashi says, Tafsu umnos avosam. They davened like they had never davened before. And that was the way the avos davened every day. If you read the Maskanos HaGemara, the Gemara says, the Gemara asks Kashas, and the Gemara ends off that even according to the Manda Omar, that the Avos established the Tfilos Tfilos Avos Tiknum V'as Mechino Rabbanon HaKarbanos. What seems to come out of the Maskaras HaGemara is that this Gemara was not about where tefillah comes from. People mistakenly think this is the source of tefillah. The source of tefillah is the Avos. The Avos definitely davened. They definitely had a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and they gave that to us. The question is, and there's a technical question which the Achronim talk about, is, are we chayev to daven because the Avos davened? That's a discussion. But this Gemara is dealing specifically with how many times a day do we have to daven, and what times do we have to daven. What we see from this Gemara, again, is that there's two concepts of tefillah. There's a concept of tefillah of the Avos, that the Avos, there was rachamim, it was a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, was asking Hashem for their basic needs. And there was a second concept called karbanos, and both of them are true, and both of them make their way into Hilchas Tefillah in different ways. The truth is, if you open up the Rambam to Hilchas Tefillah, the Rambam also, in his introduction to Hilchas Tefillah, Perek Aleph, he says the same thing. He starts off, Mitzvah Saseh Lehispalal B'chol Yom, you have to daven every day, Shenemar Ve'avaratem Es Hashem Lokechem, Mipi Hashmua Amru, that's based on the Gemara that we quoted, Shavod Azuhi Tefillah. He goes on to say, Elachiv in Halacha Beis, Elachiv mitzvah kachu, Elachiv mitzvah zu kachu, Shehei Adam mispalel umischanin b'chol yom, umagid shivcho shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'yachar kach shol tzrachin, shehu tzarech lehen b'vakasha u'b'tchina, v'achar kach nosin hodaya, v'shevach hodaya. And he goes on to explain the bakasha aspect of tefillah, and then in halacha hey, that's beis and gimel and dalet, and then in halacha hey, v'chein tiknu shei minyan hatfilos keminyan hakarbanos. And then he goes back to avoda, back to karbanos. That karbanos, the three karbanos, the shtei tefillos b'chol yom are keneged the tamidin, the tamid shel shachar is shachar, is tamid shel ben arbayim is mincha, etc., etc. So even the Rambam, you see, he kind of goes back and forth, but he highlights two different concepts of tefillah. Okay, so I'd like to talk about different areas in halacha where this comes up. So we'll start where we're in the Rambam already. So let's go to Perek Dalet, Halacha Aleph. The Rambam says, Chamisha dvarim ma'akvin es ha'tfilah. There are five things which prevent a person from davening. The last item on the list, this is Perek Dalet, Halacha Aleph, is Kavonas Aleph. A person has to have kavana, and without kavana, it is ma'akiv his tefillah. What is kavana? So the Rambam in that Perek Dalet, he goes through each of the five things. In Halacha Tezayin, he gets to Ketzad hi ha'kavana. Says the Rambam, Sheyefana libo mikol ha'machshavos. He should turn his heart from all outside thoughts. Ve'yira atzmo ki'ilu hu omed lefnei hashchina. And he should envision himself as if he's standing before the Shechina. You don't just run into tefillah. If you had an important meeting, you were in you had set up an appointment with the CEO, you wouldn't just run in and run from your office and run into his office. You would wait outside his office. You might pace a little bit. You might review in your mind what you're trying to do. And after you do that, then ve'achakach yispal benachas uvetachanu. So that's kavana. And without that kavana, the tefillah is ma'akev. That's the Rambam in Perek Dalet. Yeah.
What is the nature of avoda such that it's usually exclusive from rachamim?
Okay, so I we'll see some of the halachos, hopefully through some of the halachos that we'll see certain halachos only affect the avoda aspect, and certain halachos only affect the rachamim aspect. I hope to get to that.
And there we can derive it from that.
You could see where. There's a pure avoda halacha, and then there's going to be some pure rachamim halachos, and then there's going to be some which are intermingled. So I hope to get to that. The Rambam later on in Perek Yud writes, "Misha hispalo v'lo kiven es libo." So what happens if a person davened and he didn't have kavana? Yachzer v'yispalo b'kavana. So he has to go back. He has to daven again b'kavana, says the Rambam. V'im kivein libo b'bracha rishona. But if he had kavana in the first bracha of Shmona Esrei in Avos, shuvein otzarech. I wasn't the first person to find this seeming contradiction in the Rambam. The person who made this famous is, it's really based on a Gemara, a Stira and two Gemaras, one on Daf Lamed, one on Daf Lamed Daled. The Rishonim already discuss it. But there's a famous Reb Chaim to deal with these two ways, two Rambams. In Perek Daled, the Rambam seemed to say that Kavana in Tefillah is Ma'akev. The Rambam didn't single out any part of Tefillah. The Rambam just said, Kavana is Ma'akev. You don't have Kavana, you're out. And then in Perek Yud, the Rambam says, you have to have Kavana, and if you don't have Kavana, you have to repeat Shemona Esrei. But that's only by the first Bracha. So the Rambam seemed to switch gears in Perek Yud. In Perek Yud, only the first Bracha is Ma'akev, whereas in Perek Dalet, everything was Ma'akev. So the truth is that the Chazon Ish writes, in answering this stira, in answering this contradiction, if you look through the Rambam in Perek Dalet never said that you have to repeat Shemona Esrei. It just said that it was Ma'akev. Ma'akev is a little bit left open for interpretation. It says the Chazon Ish, it took the Rambam six prakim to get to the punchline of what it means that is Ma'akev. So in Perek Dalet he said it's Ma'akev the Kavana. In Perek Yud he explained what does Ma'akev mean. Ma'akev means you can't do it. You have to have Kavana. If you didn't have Kavana for the first Perek, for the first Bracha, then you have to repeat Shemona Esrei. The rest of it, we'll call it Ma'akev, but not that you have to go back for it. But Reb Chaim says a different vart. Rabbi Sachs always used to say that Reb Chaim is like Othello. Othello's slogan is a minute to learn, a lifetime to master. It's very easy to say over Reb Chaim's steer in the Rambam, to dinim, move on with life, beautiful, everything is beautiful. But the truth is, I think that the new fad in Sfarim is to publish Reb Chaim's with all the hagos and the ha'aras that all the Rosh Yeshiva over the last 100 years have toiled over. So I'm doing a little bit of an injustice to Reb Chaim now. I'm just going to say over his yesod, and we're going to apply it to what we've been talking about, and then we're going to move on. But this it's kedai, maybe Onig Shabbos, if you haven't seen this Reb Chaim, to look inside. Reb Chaim says that there's two types of tefillah. There's two types of kavana. There's one kavana which is meduyik in Perek Dalet. When we read the words Perek Dalet Halachat Hazayin, v'yira atzmo ki'ilu hu omed lufnei hashchina. A person has to realize that he's omed lufnei hamelech, and that applies over the whole Shemona Esrei. And if you read the Rambam never distinguished between different parts of Shemona Esrei. The whole davening kavana is ma'akev. What's the kavana? Omed lufnei hamelech. Omed lefnei hamelech means the entire time. Your act of tefillah has to indicate that you realize that you're standing and you're davening before the king. What about Perek Yud, where only the first bracha was ma'akev? Says Reb Chaim, that's perish amilos. That's just the translation, the literal understanding the words. What are the words that we're saying? There's a beautiful sefer, Olas Tamid. It's a perish on the Siddur. So in his Hakdama, he writes that, you can imagine somebody davens from your bar mitzvah for your whole life. How many times do you say Pesukei Dezimra? So you're going to get to Shamayim, and they're going to say how many times, and you're going to be very proud, you're going to smile, and you're going to say, every day since my bar mitzvah I've said Pesukei Dezimra. And then the Malach is going to say, okay, so let me ask you, what do the words V'cherev Pifios B'yodam mean? And you're going to get all embarrassed. So that's why he says, I wrote this sefer to help people with that. To be totally honest, when I read this Hakdama, I didn't know what it meant. Now I know what it means. It's okay. It's a work in progress. There's a lot of tefillah. And we don't have to be there when we're 13. But we always have to be working towards the goal of understanding what we're saying. There's a lot of Pirkei Tehillim. The Halalukas are not always so easy to understand. It's a work in progress, but it has to be progress. So these are the two dinim of Reb Chaim. Just to tie it back, Rav Asher Weiss in his Minchas Asher on Devarim says that these two dinim in Reb Chaim are our two aspects of tefillah. He says that Omid Lufnei HaMelech, as Reb Chaim refers to it, that's Avoda. That's the aspect of tefillah called Avoda. And the other aspect of tefillah, which is Rachamim, that's Perish Amilos. You're asking for something, you have to understand what you're asking. That's Bakashas Tzrachav, that's the Rachamim. Yeah.
How can you have Kavana to be only Lufnei HaMelech if you don't even understand the words you're saying?
You didn't know you're davening.
I mean, Omid Lufnei HaMelech is a realization that I'm talking to.
But you wouldn't talk to a king if you knew him.
The Ribbono Shel Olam. We're going to get to that also. Davening when you don't understand. That's a very good point. Okay, so now I want to get to that's Reb Chaim, and again, perhaps based on Reb Asher Weiss, we could say that the two dinim of Reb Chaim are going to fit back into Avoda and Rachamim. Okay. Tosos and Daf Chavav Amud Beis. There's a famous Machlokas Rishonim about the following case. We spoke about the concept of Tashlumin, and we already said from the Gemara, a person misses Mincha, they could daven two Marivs. So Tosos has the following situation. The halacha is if you forget Yalav Yavo, you have to repeat Shmona Esrei. So a person, let's say it was one day Rosh Chodesh, let's say Rosh Chodesh happened to have been today, and at Mincha you forgot Yalav Yavo. So if you took three steps back, you remembered, oh yeah, I forgot Yalav Yavo, you repeat Shmona Esrei. What happens if you finish Mincha, you come to Maariv, and now you're stuck? Oh no, I forgot Yalav Yavo. So what do you do? So there's two opinions in Tosus. Tosus quotes the Ri. The Ri says, don't bother with Tashlumin. Why? What are you going to do? You're going to daven Yud Ches Brachos, Yud Tes Brachos. You can daven Shmon Esrei again. But you already daven Shmon Esrei. So what's the other option? It's not Rosh Chodesh anymore, so you can't say Yalav Yavo. So his lashon is lo yarviach klum. You don't gain anything by davening. You're going to make up for a missed tefillah. You're going to say the exact same words. What did you accomplish? And the Rush and the Rabbeinu Yonah quote from the Chachmei Provence that a person should daven. A person should daven again. Okay, halacha lemaaseh. I think the Rabbeinu Yonah writes that we should daven b'toras nedava. Toras nedava nowadays is a whole different issue, but not so clear who we paskin like. So how do we understand this machlokas? So the classic explanation, I think they say this b'shem Reb Chaim, the Stipler writes about this, Shmuel Rozovsky writes about this, that the machlokas is, how do we understand what happens when you davened without a Yalav Yavo? Is it that you davened, you just missed the Hazkara of Yalav Yavo? Or is it as if you didn't daven at all? Or is it you missed davening? So if you missed davening, it's like you didn't daven mincha, so then obviously you got to daven again. That would be the Chachmei Provence. You didn't daven, you got to daven again. But the Ri would look at it as you davened, you just missed an Azkara. So perhaps we could say, also here, the Sheet of the Ri, we could understand that there's two parts to tefillah, and here, Avram, is where we're going to start to separate them. The Ri would look at it and say, it's true that the avoda aspect, there was an avoda here. Your avoda was to daven Yud Ches Brachos plus the Yalav Yavo. You didn't do that, so you didn't fulfill your avoda aspect. But you still fulfilled your rachamim. So you're going to come to your next tefillah, the Maariv. You've already fulfilled your rachamim. And mitzad the avoda, the Ri would look at it that the avoda is no different than the avoda you did 2 hours ago. And therefore, there's no point in doing it. Again, here already in the Shita of the Ri, we could see this chiluk. Now, what's his name?
Yaakov.
Okay. So Yaakov wanted to know about davening when you don't understand. So the truth is that the Mishnah in Maseches Sota, Daf Lamed Gimel, the Mishnah says, has a list of things that we have to do that have to be in Lashon HaKodesh and things that don't have to be in Lashon HaKodesh. And the Mishnah lists over there that tefillah does not have to be b'Lashon HaKodesh. Tefillah can be b'chol lashon. So the Gemara asks why. The Gemara goes through each list, each item in the Mishnah, why it does or does not have to be in Lashon HaKodesh. The Gemara gets to tefillah. Why tefillah? Very quickly, the Gemara says, because tefillah is rachamim. Rachamim is you're beseeching the Ribbono Shel Olam. So you're coming to the Ribbono Shel Olam asking for something. You have to understand what you're saying. The Gemara says, on Daf Chavtes, that there came a time when Rabbi Gamliel felt that it was necessary to write a tefillah for the tzedukim. That's the tefillah we call V'lam al-Shinim. So he said, who is able to write this tefillah? And the Gemara says, Amad Shmuel HaKatan V'tikna. So there's all types of explanation by why it was Shmuel HaKatan. But the Pnei Yoshua on the Gemara says that this is a raya, this Gemara is a raya, that the words of tefillah are miyusadim al adnei paz. The foundation of the tefillos that we say are golden beams, very strong support. The ramazim that and the kavanos that were placed into the tefillah by the Anshei Knesset HaGedola were so strong that even if a person didn't understand what they were saying, it would be that powerful. And that's why Pnei Yoshua said they couldn't have some poet write a nice paragraph. That wasn't enough. It had to be somebody who understood the deep kavanas of tefillah. The Nefesh HaChaim in Shaar Beis, when he's talking about tefillah, he says they had to get all of Anshei Knesset HaGedola together to write Shmona Esrei. 120 of the Tzaddikei Hador had to sit down to compose the Shmona Esrei. Nefesh HaChaim says, obviously there's deeper stuff involved that we have no clue about. But it was worth it for us to have that Lashon, whatever the words are, because the words have that Kedusha. Nusach Sfar, the Baal Shem, the Arizal, the Nuschos that they changed, also, for us, the meaning, maybe we don't understand what it means, but the way that they instituted the Nusach Sfar was also with perhaps invoking some Kabbalah, but getting at the deeper kavanos of tefillah, which we do or we do not have. The Bir Halacha writes, the Bir Halacha in Simon Kofalov says, even if you don't understand the tefillah, there's a huge mila to the tefillos because of the way that they were written and the way that they were established. So just to answer, I guess, even if we don't know what it means, it's something that has so much power that without understanding it, it's still worth its weight in gold, as the Pnei Yoshua references. At the Levaya, which was just 2 weeks ago, my father-in-law spoke at the Levaya, and he told a story that my wife's grandmother was a survivor. She had a very broken English, and it took her a long time to daven. The war was basically during what would have been her yeshiva years, so she didn't really have so much of an education, and it was hard for her to read the Hebrew. So it took her a really long time to daven. So he once asked her, he said, Ma, why don't you just open up, read the English? What do we have to break your teeth on the Hebrew? So she said to him, he said, she said, even if I don't understand what it means, Hashem knows what I mean. Hashem knows what I'm saying. That's something we have to realize. It should empower us. It's okay if we don't understand the words. When you realize that the words were composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, it takes on a new meaning. It takes on a new meaning, even if it doesn't maybe, you know, mean as much to us. And by the way, mitzad, that's really, ironically, that's mitzad the avoda. Mitzad the rachamim, the poskim say, we should insert bakashos. You learn through the Mishnah Berurah, of course you should insert bakashos. In the bracha of Rifa'enu, you should insert bakasha. You should insert a name. You should make your tefillos personal. But that, notwithstanding, the actual words of the tefillah have an impact as well. The Mechaber in Siman Kuf Beis, Sif Dalid, writes, based on the Gemara in Brachos, Asur Lavar Keneged HaMisbalim, you're not allowed to walk in front of somebody who's davening. We know we're not supposed to walk in front of them. Why not? Says the Mishnah Berurah, Mipnei Shemivatal Kavanaso HaYidezeh, because the person's not going to be able to be Mechaber. You're going to walk in front of him, you're going to distract him. And then the Mishnah Berurah quotes V'chai Adam Kosav Hatam Mipnei Shemafsik Bein HaMispalel LaShchina. When a person davens, the Shechina is right there. You're not allowed to break it up. The Bir Halacha quotes a nafkamina between the two. Would be what happens. Somebody's davening with a talis over their head. So sometimes people like the talis to be all the way over their head. They can't see anything that's going on in front of them. Or what happens if you have something that's mafsik in between you, which creates a halachic mechitza or a hefsik, but the person can still see you. So if you're going to walk by, they'll notice. So in such a case, the Mechaber recommends that, he says that following the first reason, you're not going to cause the person to lose kavana. So the Bir Halacha writes that you'd be allowed to walk in front of them if their eyes were closed or if they had a talus in front of them. But according to the Chai Adam Lechora, it should be usher, because the fact that the talus is in front of them doesn't affect the fact that they're standing in front of the Shechina. So here too we see this halacha has two reasons, and these two reasons are the avoda and the rachamim. You're standing in front of the Shechina. You're standing. You're omid lufnei hamelech. In a halachic sense, you're omid lufnei hamelech. And on the other hand, the purpose of not walking in front is because you're going to be mevatel kavana. That's the rachamim aspect. How much time is it? 15 minutes?
Okay.
There's an interesting halacha. The Chai Adam writes. Chai Adam writes the following. In Klal Chav Dalet, halacha Chav Aleph, Hamisnamni b'tfilaso, a person falls asleep while he's davening. Or, we'll see how that's possible. Or, misiba acheres, a person totally spaces out. And he wakes up and he has no clue where in Shmona Esrei he is. So the Chai Adam says the following: this is the halacha. What do you think you're up to? If you think you're in the Gimel Rishonos, the first three brachos, you go back to the beginning of Shmona Esrei. If you know you said Modim already, then you start from Ritzei. What if you're in the middle? So the Chai Adam says the rule is the first bracha that you're sure you didn't say. So let's say a person remembers that they had Kavan and Rafa'inu. And after that, they're not sure. They know definitely they didn't say V'lam al Shinim. So they should start from V'lam al Shinim. Whatever you know you didn't say, you should start from and continue from there. Why? Well, you don't want to repeat a bracha you already said. That's a bracha Shein Tzricha. That's not a good idea. It says the Chai Adam, if you're not sure if you said it, just move on. So the stipler, Akilas Yaakov and Simon Yudzayin, asks Akasha on this din of the Chai Adam. In Simon Kuf Yutes, it's Mavur that there's a klal, brachos are ma'akva zu azu. If a person skips one brach of Shmona Esrei, the Shmona Esrei doesn't count. So you weren't Yotze your Shmona Esrei. You missed one bracha. So Stipler asks, so Bishlama, the Chai Adam, is saving you from maybe you might have already said the bracha. You might have said Barech Aleinu, so don't say it again because maybe it's going to be a bracha Shein Tzricha. Says the stipler, and what if you didn't say Barech Aleinu? Then from here on in, every bracha is a bracha levatala, because you're not Yotzei this Shmona Esrei, because you didn't say Barech Aleinu. So that's also a problem. So the stipler ends off that you should go back to the last bracha that you're sure that you said. You know you said Rifa'inu, so start from after Rifa'inu. In other words, the stipler says, start from the last bracha you're sure you said. Chai Adam says, start from the first bracha that you're sure you didn't say. There's a Maisa Shahaya with Rabbi Yisrael Reisman. I called him last week just to make sure that I could tell this story over. So it happened in the summer of 1995 that he had a surgery on his leg. And he was flat on his back in the hospital. So the next morning, he figured if he's not going to daven with the minyan, he might as well daven Nates. So Nates in the summer is very early, so he set his alarm. He got up. He was on, heavy painkillers. So he starts to daven. Mid Shmona Esrei, he fell asleep. So he woke up, remembered that he was in Shmona Esrei. He knew that there was a machlokas between the Chai Adam and the stipler about what to do. And now he was stuck. So he got on the phone and he called his Rebbe Rav Pam. He knew that Rav Pam was up at that time learning and he was by a phone, so he called Rav Pam and he asked him what to do. Rav Pam said, listen, you know, the Chai Adam is a posek, one of the Gedolei Achronim. Okay, Stipler has a good kasha, but you're not losing if you follow the Chai Adam. Okay, so he followed the Chai Adam. So when he got out of the hospital, he was bothered. You know, Lamaisa, the Stipler has a good kasha. So he attempted to resolve this issue. So he came up with the following. He came up with Ari Yisod. He said that the Chai Adam had two cheshbonos over here. The Chai Adam is concerned about bracha sheino tzricha. So the Chai Adam says, you know that you didn't say v'lam al shinim. So for sure you could start v'lam al shinim and go straight through. What's the problem? The problem is going backwards. Let's say Barech Aleinu. I don't know if I said Barech Aleinu. If I didn't say Barech Aleinu, it would have been a good idea to say it. But if I did say Barech Aleinu, then I'm repeating a bracha unnecessarily, a bracha sheinu tzricha. So that's not a good idea. Now, what about the stipler's kasha? That if I didn't say Baruch Aleinu, then the rest of my brachos are no good. So Rabbi Reisman suggested that they're no good mitzad avoda. But mitzad rachamim, there's still a kiyum to the Shmona Esrei. In fact, the stipler himself, later on at Simon Chav Zayin, alludes to this. When talking about this issue of the kavana in Simon Kuf Aleph, we mentioned earlier about having kavana in the bracha of Avos. So the truth is, the Mechaber quotes this halacha from the Rambam that we quoted, from the Gemara. HaMespal Otzoch Sheichavin B'chol HaBrachos, Simon Kuf Aleph, Sif Aleph. V'meinu Yochol HaChavin B'kulam. If you can't have kavana for everything, L'fachos Yichavin B'Avos. At least Avos. V'mlo Kivin B'Avos, says the Mechaber, if you didn't have kavana, Afal Pisha Kivin B'chol HaShar, Yachzor V'Yispalo. Then you have to daven. Then you have to daven a new Shmona Esrei. You forgot. You didn't have kavana for Avos. You have to daven again. Says the Rama, quoting from the Tur, V'ha'idna Bizman Hazeh, already in the times of the Tur, Ein Chozum B'Shvil Chasaron Kavana. You can't have people going back and repeating Shmona Esrei every time you miss kavana. Sha'af bechazara korov u'shalo yichavin. What's the person going to do? He's going to daven again. Biter, he's not going to have kavana. So imkein lama yachzor. Let him just go on. Says the Bir Halacha, it has to be that this person finished Shmona Esrei. In other words, he davened Mincha, okay? 20 minutes after he davened Mincha, he realizes, you know, I was totally spaced out the entire davening. So in that case, should he repeat Shmona Esrei? So the Rama says, don't repeat Shmona Esrei, because you're going to daven again, you'll space out again. What are you going to benefit? But what's going to happen? You're in the middle, you said the first bracha, now you start Atah Gibor L'Olam Hashem. I've been spaced out since the beginning. Since takeoff, I've been on the plane, basically. My head has been in space. So now what do? Says the Bir Halacha. The Rama didn't mean that you should continue. How are you going to continue? You're going to continue? The bracha is ma'akev. The Mechaber Paskin, based on the Gemara, that the first bracha is ma'akev. So you're going to continue Shmona Esrei. That's not a halachic solution to say, nowadays we don't have kavana anyway, so forget the whole halacha. Let's cancel the halacha because we don't have kavana. That's ridiculous. That's not a way of dealing with the halacha. So the Bir Halacha says it must be that the Rama was only saying it if you finish the entire Shmona Esrei, and we want to know, should you say the whole thing? But if a person's in the middle of Shmona Esrei and he realizes that he didn't have kavana in the first bracha, now he's stuck. So for that, the Rama is telling us to continue davening. That's not the kavanah of the Rambam. Says the Bir Halacha, the Chayyadam in that case would help us, because the Chayyadam would say, continue davening. Continue davening, and at least from here on in, you'll be able to daven. Chafetz Chaim has his own suggestion, which he doesn't love the Chayyadam. The Yosir nearly Eitzah Acheres, says the Chafetz Chaim, why don't you wait for the Shliach Tzibur, and when he says Avos, you'll be Yotze with his Bracha of Avos. Stipler over there says that how could you even continue the brachos? So the stipler says if a person davens a Shmona Esrei and he davens a bracha, even if he didn't have kavana and avos, still reading the words is a kiyum of a mitzvah of tefillah. So the stipler, even though the stipler in Simen Yud Zayin said that the brachos ma'akev, when it came to missing out on the kavana, the stipler felt that there still is a concept of tefillah. So Rabbi Reisman wanted to use this idea to be miyashiv the chayyadam, that there's a kiyum of rachamim. The Gemara on Daf Chaf, the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Amid Aleph, the bottom of Chaf Amid Aleph says, Nashim v'avodim k'tanim v'tur mikriya shema u'mina tefillin v'chayyavin b'tefillah u'mezuzah u'bebrech samazah. Women are chayyav in tefillah. Why are women chayyav in tefillah, says the Gemara? The rachamininu. So here we see, they're chayev because of rachamim. They're not chayev because of avoda. This is nogeya to another area of tefillah, because there's a machlokas achronim. Rov achronim hold that women are not chayev to daven musaf. Why not? So the Tzlach writes, well, Tosfos later on, Davchavav, Tosfos says, that there's no tashlumin. We spoke about tashlumin. There's no tashlumin for musaf. You don't make up a musaf. The Meiri says there is, but every other Rishon says there's not. Why not? Why no tashlumin for musaf? Says Tosfos, because musaf is unashama parmes fosenu. Musaf is patterned after the carbon musaf. There's no rachamim aspect to musaf. So if there's no rachamim aspect to musaf, there's only avoda, Avraham. So here we see, when it comes to women, the only reason they're chayiv in tefillah in the first place is because of rachamim, because they also need the rachamim. So if they need the rachamim, they're going to daven shachris, they're going to daven mincha, okay, marv. Marv is rishus, different story, maybe yes, maybe no. But when it comes to musaf, musaf is a uniquely avoda experience. Because it's avoda and not rachamim, women are putter. That's what the Tzlach writes. Reb Kiveger alludes to this also. Kiveger says that women are not chayiv in the korban tzibur and the machzis shekel, and therefore also they'd be putter because, again, musaf is only an avoda aspect. There's a few more halachas that highlight this difference, but I want to bring it a little bit to hashkafa. In the few minutes that I have remaining, the Rashi in Bereishis in Perek Lamed, by the pasuk Naftuli Elokim Niftalti, when Yaakov names his son, he Rashi writes that Naftuli Tfila is a lashon of chibur, connection. Tfila is a connection to the Ribono Shel Olam. The truth is that, in a sense, Avodas HaKarbonos and Tfila are very much connected. The Netziv, in his Perush on Shir HaShirim, called Rina Shal Torah, the Netziv writes that even Bizman HaMikdash, when they would bring a Karban, the whole purpose of the Karban was that there should be Ritzui, that the Ribono Shel Olam should want to accept our Tefillah. There was no, even in times of Beis HaMikdash, when we say Tefillos are Keneged Karbanos, it's not as if we didn't daven when there was a Beis HaMikdash. The purpose of the Karban was to convince, so to speak, persuade the Ribono Shel Olam to accept our tefillah. A relationship has two components. It has avoda and it has rachamim. Rachamim is getting what we want. Rachamim is asking for things. But the avoda is the technical aspect of the relationship. I would say if avoda is technical, rachamim is emotional. You know, just to give a mushel. You know, person gets married, so the first Friday they come home, they bring a big bouquet of flowers. You give it to your new wife, and you say, here, all my friends told me this is something I have to do, bring you flowers. So here they are. Bad idea. It's not going to go over well. Because the flowers are rachamim. There has to be a lave, there has to be an emotional component to the relationship, and then there's avoda, there's the technical avenue towards that relationship. And that's why also by language we have to have the tefillah and lashon hakodesh, because those are all the deeper mazim and kavanos that the Anshei Knesset Hagdola put into the tefillah. But at the same time we have to have the rachamim. If we're davening and we're not understanding and we're not working to understand, then we're not sending the right message that we really care. The Mechaber writes that a person who talks during Chazar Sashat is Gadol Avono Miniso. It's a strong Lashon. We don't find that so often. We find that by the first murder in the history of the world, by Cain. And then we find this in the Mechaber, talking during Chazar Sashat. We don't find it by Yom Kippur, eating on Yom Kippur, Chametz BePesach, nowhere. So why this Lashon? So Matzio Solomon, the Mashkiach in Lakewood, he said that Chazar Sashat is the Tzibur's connection to the Ribono Shel Olam. That's us as a Tzibur talking to the Ribono Shel Olam. If you're talking to other people during Chazar Sashat, you know, imagine a group went to the White House to talk to the president and you're on your phone talking to somebody else. That means you have no interest in being there and you have no interest in the relationship. So that's what tefillah is. Tefillah is avoda. Those are the technical aspects of the tefillah, and I didn't get to go through all of them, the whole list, but there are others if you want. It's a technical aspect of avodah shebalev, that this is how we do it, and that's a dugma, as the Mechaber in Siman Tzadi Ches writes, It's a dogma of karbanos. That's why we stand during Shmona Esrei. We stand because when you bring a karban, you have to stand. That's why we're supposed to daven in front of a wall, because there's not supposed to be any chatzitza. When you bring a karban, not supposed to be a chatzitza during tefillah. That's the technical aspect. And then there also has to be the rachamim aspect. And the two of them have to go together. And then we have to realize tefillah is an avoda in the simplest sense. It's something that we always have to work on. It's okay if you don't know what cherev pipios biyadam means, but it's something that we should constantly be working on. The way that you daven when you were 13 should not be the way that you daven when you're 18. The way that you daven when you're 18 should not be the way that you daven when you're 30 or you're 50 or you're 70 or you're 100. There should be a constant growth process. And that's rachamim, that's rachmana liba boy, that's all the Ribbono Shalom can ask of us. Azoi. Thank you very much. Amen.